Hey.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy. Welcome. Episode 415 of BRB UK beckons, and I am here to beckon you to it. My name is Dan. I'm one of your hosts. Hello, good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are. Or between that time, between afternoon and evening, it's like the latter day brunch is what I would describe it as. I don't quite know what that day term of the day is. It's like the perineum of the 24-hour period. No one's quite got a name for it apart from perineum.
See, this is why I interrupt you normally, Dan, because
I'm
otherwise...
Rambling. I am rambling. Why am I rambling is because, well, frankly, it's time to introduce Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hello, you. How are you?
You raging plonker, how are you doing?
I am okay. I am actually good. Recording this week. That should help
good
somewhat.
Good work.
That's good.
Excellent. And a man who's learned to back up his backups and then back up some more backups on those backups because me and Tim cannot be trusted. It's Coleman.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. After the shenanigans of last week and the case of the Hibs not recording, we did get one. Well, we got a couple of highlights out of this, but my favourite one being this little sound clip.
Oh, Timothy Hibbs, you big steaming pillock.
I'm quite happy to have that on the board.
Hey, look, it's a soundbite that is useful for every scenario, I find.
I've got a couple of good ones from Tim as well.
No.
Nice. Nice.
No. Help me. I've forgotten to record.
SOS.
No.
So, Tim, congratulations. Have you worked out how to work your computer this week?
It's not that. It's, you know, actually doing something rather than thinking you've done something. They're two different things.
Yeah, they tend to be quite like thinking about paying your council tax, it turns out, not the same as paying your council tax.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I know. Sorry, Carmen. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, crap.
Sorry. Yeah.
Boris is coming for me.
We can't be bothered. Can't be bothered.
There's money involved.
Well, yeah, this is true. Anyway, Tim,
yes.
It's been an exciting technological time for you. Well, if WhatsApp conversation or anything's gone, it went along the lines of, man, my Xbox S is seriously quiet. Me, have you turned it on? Tim,
we have to
I
check now.
I think so.
yes, but it is whisper quiet. And it does turn on. It's got the button is slightly different to how it was on the controller and on the previous Xbox as well.
Here we go. We're getting straight in on the juicy details, ladies and gentlemen. You don't care how many gigaflops or teraflops it's got. You don't care about the ray tracing. You don't care about the super sexy drive. What you care about is that the button is a little different.
Yeah,
thanks,
well.
Tim. This is why we're so glad you invested on our behalf.
Yeah, this is why you know, you come to Big Red Barrel for the insider knowledge. No one else can do it. Well, thousands of other people have already delivered in better fashion.
Well, I just would like to point out as well, Tim is the first to get the Xbox Series S, which is the next generation. Well, now current generation console.
Yeah.
That makes Tim, on the bleeding edge of technology, the only person in the show, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's the slightly blunt edge.
There you go.
It's the new current generation. It is the diet version of obviously the Series S versus the Series X, and is perhaps, I don't know, as I've been thinking about the Series S, I have been wondering how much Microsoft might have shot themselves in the foot out the gate with this, because actually the more I read about the S, especially if you're not obsessed with running things in 4K HDR at 120 frames a second.
Yeah,
it does do HDR though.
It does do HDR, I know, as the Xbox One does.
Yeah.
But in terms of the fact that we're already pretty resigned to this generation being pretty incremental in its upgrade, actually, is the S a much better value proposition than the X anyway? So, yeah.
Quite possibly. I mean, there's one thing I'm slightly confused about that you might be able to give me some information.
I refer you back to our earlier conversation. Have you turned it on?
Well, no, it says it does 1440p, which, as I understand it, is more of a monitor resolution, basically.
Yes.
But it does say that it upscales to 4K.
Yeah, in the same way a PlayStation Pro would.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
Well, it's the checkerboard upscaling.
Yeah, I think there's a term for that.
Excellent, good.
You got a musical version of this podcast.
So there's two bits of it, Tim. So it's like the games internally render at one resolution, and then the console itself, the hardware, if it's not rendering at native 4K, will use technological shenanigans.
Yes.
That's the technical term you're looking for, Coleman. Technological shenanigans to up-res it to 4K.
Because I tell you what, it looks freaking phenomenal. I mean, it's
how much of that, though, is your new telly versus...
I was about to say, this comes with one caveat. Just had a new TV, so some of the games, even games like I just downloaded and started playing Forza 7 for the first time.
Isn't that good fun?
That looks phenomenal on my TV. A bit more of a sim than I like. My flatmate's going to absolutely love and devour that game, so if you see me playing that game, there's about a 20% chance it's actually me.
As long as he can improve the steering of your drivatar, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
Your drivatar is an arse.
Oh, if my drivatar isn't using 8-wheel braking tactics whenever you're in front of me, then it's not doing its job properly, basically.
If my drivatar rams you off the road, that is by design. I've been working on this for years.
But yeah, I mean, like, that looked really good. And as I said, that might be tempered slightly by the fact. But then also, I'm confused by another thing as well. I didn't know this when we were playing it and looking at it. According to what's on the store and what's written there at the moment, at least anyway, and how it's designated, Forza 7 doesn't seem to have been optimized for the X and the S, whereas Forza Horizon 4 has.
Yeah, I mean, Forza 7's getting on a bit these days, actually. It's quite, actually, I think it's like 4 years old.
Okay.
But Horizon, if you've got Game Pass, which you bloody well should because it's phenomenal value, that is on Game Pass at the moment, Horizon. So I thoroughly recommend you get it.
I had that on my Xbox One and I'd played it quite a lot. And I wasn't aware or not, but a friend has updated me and said this did happen to his save file, that his whole save file just came across when he started playing it.
Yeah, it should do.
So I wasn't sure that was the case. But I thought I'd give Forza 7 a try as it just come to that and I hadn't played that before, basically. So, and yeah, I think my hard drive is about 80% full already.
Yeah, so that's something I wanted to touch on, because both of these consoles go, oh, we got 1 terabyte of storage, and then it's the whole user accessible bit might be less. So I understand
this is 512, though.
Is that 512 on there? So how much of that can you actually use?
I think it was 364 to start with. Ooh. if I'm correct.
Might as well just have a regular Xbox One.
I mean,
I did want to point out as well, because some people, I mean, the upgrade from a stock Xbox One, launch Xbox One, to the Xbox Series S.
Yes, that
seems
to be
the
other
bigger
qualifier I was going
to
get.
That's a bigger improvement than, say, going from the Project X to this and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, so if you had the latest All Singing All Dancing Xbox, then you probably wouldn't have seen as much of an improvement as I have, basically.
Yeah. Where it seems the big advantage in going for the X over the S in stupid naming system, is the in particular, the hard drive space, because you have the hard drive space and you can upgrade the memory units and all that stuff. Where that changes is if you buy a Series S and then get the hard drive upgrade, it's more expensive than you buying a Series X.
Yeah,
with
that's
on it already.
Slight problem.
Yeah, and if you did that, you got more hard drive space, and you'd have, you know, the ray tracing and the 8K capability and
your
all that.
Your terrors
kind of
would be floppier. Yep. And actually, it's more than you would think, because the overhead is not a proportion of there's two bits of the reason why you can't access all of it. One is the operating system. The other bit is because super sexy drives are so sexy that actually they kind of burn themselves out a little bit over time. So what on every SSD, and you'll see this on your PC, there's always a bit of the drive reserved for essentially it's having spare space. So when all SSD cells, the storage cells, will eventually go bad, and that's a function of how many times they're written
to. So actually upgrading it later, and also I'm figuring that they may come down in price a little bit over time, maybe not massively.
So I saw the 1 terabyte expansion pack is about £200.
Yeah, and I expect them to be, as their symmetry proprietary or semi-proprietary.
They're cemetery proprietary.
Cemetery proprietary.
Semi-proprietary. I imagine that they will stay high in cost, possibly, but I'm hoping they'll come down a little bit, and then that'll make that a little bit more affordable. My other kind of thought is, though, that going forward, as I'm mainly using it for access to Game Pass, there's a strong possibility that I might end up, along the life cycle of this console at least, doing more streaming gaming than, or as much streaming gaming as I am doing downloading.
So just a question with that. So with like the storage, obviously there's the super expensive, super sexy stuff,
super
the thing you thumb it in at the back.
Excuse me.
Storage com, thank you.
Oh, of course, sorry.
But can you still run games off an external hard drive, like a USB drive? Because I know on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with the PlayStation 5 just because I read that whole FAQ on it the other day. I imagine that's still the case, but I think isn't it something like that's something that they're planning on bringing but isn't available at launch? Was that the PlayStation as well? I can't remember.
There's actual a slot for you to put an NVMe SSD in the PlayStation 5.
You require... I know the answer. Hello.
Okay. I know the answer too.
Yeah, you can install Xbox Series X, Series S games to the regular hard drive and to the expandable slot in the back drive thing. If you want to connect an external USB drive, then that can only store Xbox One games.
Oh, okay. So
same as they're doing with the PlayStation 5.
Xbox One and other retro stuff, or just Xbox One?
I assume 360 and Xbox at the same time.
Because I can tell you, something. It makes Full Spectrum Warrior look pretty good.
Wow, Tim. This is yet again why we have you on the bleeding edge.
To be fair, that was the first game I downloaded.
The only reason why Tim's bleeding edge is because it was self-inflicted and didn't open the box properly.
The first game I actually played, and only one of the ones that was actually kind of rated for X and S was Tetris Effect Connected. So the first game I played was Tetris.
But I haven't really got to any of the technology to its limits.
Yeah, and I haven't really got to any of the new content or played any of the multiplayer yet. So really tested that. But a lot of what I've done so far is
just to flip back on the storage thing, because I just think it's interesting that the super quick load times are clearly so considered so central to the new console experience. Yeah. Maybe perhaps because the visual upgrade isn't as much of a leap as it was going from, say, the PS3 to the PS4 or the 360 to the Xbox One. It's really interesting that, and especially bearing in mind that SSDs, the thing that kind of dictates how long life they are is how many times you write to them. It's interesting that they're making that trade-off between you've got to have a really rapidly loading game versus, you know, okay, you can voluntarily take a hit on the load time but put less stress on your SSD. So it's just interesting to me that that is kind of verboten in both the Xbox and the PS5.
Yeah, but I think, as you say, that's going to be a large part of this kind of console life cycle in both consoles. And that's one of the things that really has improved and is a massive improvement and will be a massive gain to my gaming time, basically, is the fact that you can hot switch between various different games. I've had pretty much every game that I've opened so far open at once and been able to switch between them.
So Spelunky, Tetris.
does it get to a point that if you open, because I know the new, and they're doing the same on the PlayStation 5, this whole quick resume system.
Yeah.
You open a game, and much like if you went into rest mode and then jump back in, you'll be at your save point after maybe a quick loading screen or whatever. This time, it's the idea of you can just quick change back to anything. You'll never need to restart a game again. The idea is Insomniac have even said, when you load up Spider-Man, you see Insomniac and Marvel, you're only intended to see that once, and you will never see it again when you reload the game, because it will jump straight back into it.
Unless they patch stuff.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like an early generation iPhone where after a while it will start going, hey, you've got to close some of these apps. You're draining your battery. It's going a bit slow.
Well, I've heard that it does struggle if you go much above like half a dozen games or so. And I don't know if that's going to be any different between the X and the S, whether there's any performance difference on that sort of side of things. But
all I would say is what you're doing when you do that, I think how both of these systems work, without going too nerdy, but a little bit nerdy. essentially run each game as its own virtual machine. So the contents of that virtual machine get written to disk when you switch away from it. So it's like in a freeze frame state. So you've got to store that data, the contents of memory, somewhere. And because I think there's going to be, I think it's going to split into two accounts. I think there's going to be instant switching where it's literally, it's still in memory, off you go. And then there's going to be what seems near as damn it instant because the transfer speeds are so fast from the internal SSD to memory because it's all on a new version of PCIe.
It doesn't seem to make too much difference which one of those you're doing or whether you're opening a game from the start. Anyway, it's all really quick and snappy and kind of moves along really quickly as well.
But what I don't know what would happen, though, is if a game gets an update push to it, how that deals with it. I'd imagine you would see like the first time load on that because it's going to have to update the application data. And the contents of memory might not be compatible with the new version.
Yeah, I haven't really seen too much of that yet, but yeah, seen bits of.
Hey, the generation's young. There's time yet. Don't worry. Yes.
So for viewers of the thing, look, see, pad is one thing that is, it's nice, but it clearly hasn't been overly massively redesigned, basically.
Did it need to be, though?
Not massively, but the one thing I worry about is it was one of the areas where Xbox had an advantage in the last generation. I did actually think it enhanced driving games having the kind of rumble action in the triggers and stuff. This seems to be one thing where PlayStation have caught up and overtaken Xbox in this generation, and just for the record, my DualSense arrived today as well, so I've had that.
Just for the record, I got Bugsnacks today.
Ooh. Of course, of
PlayStation
you
Plus.
And I pre-ordered the Spider-Mans. Like I had to go for the Ultimate
How
Edition to get
is it?
Both
I thought
of
that
them
was going for like £80 or something
it's
ridiculous. 50.
It's 70 if you get the Ultra Bundle that includes Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales. If you get Miles Morales on its own, was it 40, 50?
50. So I thought for the extra £20, I might as well go for the remastered one because that's going to last me probably longer than Miles Morales by the sounds of things as well.
Yeah.
And the new TV and, you know, with the new console, I think that's going to be virtually playing a different game. And I didn't play through all the DLC and stuff anyway. So, yeah. The one thing with that is...
And you're saying, Yowza, Dan, 70 is the new RRP.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't
$69.99 is all AAA console games now.
Yeah, I don't think you can pass your save data yet on that, basically.
Yeah, you can. They're patching it in. Day one patch, I think they said.
Day one patch. Okay, that's good. And yeah, like, I had to go
told
a
you
few
it wouldn't
other
take
things.
Long.
The one thing I found really strange is, okay, this is possibly... Okay, Ouya aside, this is probably the cheapest console I've bought for quite some time, especially at a launch of a new console. And yeah, the grand total of the amount of money that I spent day one on software was £6.19, which I bought Bright Memory, which, yeah, first person shooter with a bit of hack and slash going on, that, yeah, made by the Korean guy, was kind of shown off in some of the early announcement stuff. That's the one game I picked up. Like, I haven't picked up and may in the future get possibly Watchdog Legions or Assassin's Creed Valhalla just to kind of see what it can do a little bit more. But at the moment, I didn't want to clog up my hard drive with a massive game straight away anyway, part of my thinking. But with me having access to Game Pass and, you know, games with gold and other bits and bobs, I had a full library on day one of games to mess around with and have fun with. And I don't necessarily feel the need to pick up a game yet. And I've still got enough stuff to be playing with and loads of other games I've downloaded and haven't played yet. So...
Well, with Game Pass Ultimate also including a bunch of, you know, kind of the basic tier of EA Play now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much stuff you instantly have on tap.
Yeah, I've already played a bit of Burnout Remastered, a little bit of UFC 3, and yeah, just being able to bounce in and out of a few games that I wouldn't have been picking up at the moment, but just to see how they are and have some fun with them. Yeah, it's been, like, that's been good and fun. And yeah... I don't know how they got that or how long, if that's a permanent thing with EA Play, but it is really another string to the bow of Xbox if that's a permanent thing. But I don't know about you, that means I'm less likely to buy a lot of EA games.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends, because on some cases they go, hey, here's, you can play this game free for 10 hours before you can buy it. And yeah, in some cases, yeah, that's enough. You know, like I said, picked up the FIFA thing, had 10 hours fun of FIFA. They went, you're at your end of your trial, and excellent, I've played enough FIFA. It's great. I really enjoyed that. But then in cases of Star Wars Jedi
Squadrons
flipping,
or Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, Fallen Order. I completely forgot the name for a second. On the PC, on Origin, I believe you could play 10 hours, but then on the consoles, they went, you get a skin for your ship. So, and now they're only just adding that to EA Play for Game Pass and all that kind of stuff. So it depends on the game.
Yeah, yeah. And just for the record as well, I played a bit Gears Tactics. I know we talked about it before on the show, but that was kind of one of my main games for launch. I knew that was coming out for launch and that would probably keep me happy. And yeah, really like that. I thought the formula of like XCOM in the Gears universe would work well for me. And yeah, I'm really liking that so far. So yeah, that's good. But yeah, overall, my experience with the DS has been favorable. As we kind of mentioned on the caveats going in, like my experience may not be the same as everyone else's. But yeah, like it definitely feels an upgrade, but it's really weird that the whole UI system and the kind of interface side of things in terms of the controller and stuff still feels highly familiar to the point of being almost the same kind of thing. It's comfortable, but at the same time, it does that. Those two things don't feel like a massive leap away from what we've had before, but the actual unit itself and the controller are both good. So
quick question.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind the stuff about storage that Colwyn mentioned earlier on,
yes,
that actually it's cheaper to buy an X that has more storage out of the box than an S and then upgrade the storage on it. Do you have any kind of lingering, I wish I just got the Series X instead of the Series S?
If money was no object, then yeah. But it's a enough of a price difference that, put it this way, I think if this box wasn't available, I just simply wouldn't have bought an Xbox at launch. I'd just really been waiting for my PS5. And so I think it's a good thing for me because it was so much of an upgrade from the original launch Xbox, but it's also a good plan for Xbox. Like, between Game Pass and the price of this console, they've got me on board day one in a way they wouldn't have done otherwise, basically.
And just kind of just to work out what made you think, actually, no, the S is absolutely fine for what I need it for. What was the kind of what did you feel wasn't worth the extra in the case of the Series X? Just interested, that's all. Just in case it helps other people make the right decision for them.
I mean, it's slightly the fact that I know I'm going to have another console. Like, I know I will probably be able to get most of the other big games on my PS5, and that does have the bigger hard drive and everything, but this does give me access to Game Pass and I can mess around with that. And yeah, like as I said, it's a bigger jump for me because I went from the original launch console, so there might be more people in a similar position as that, but at the same time as well, it was factored into the equation, the fact that I definitely will have another console and have access to other games through that, basically. So if I want to do like true like 4K gaming and really, you know, like anything cyberpunk or anything like that, I'll be buying on the PS5. But I've got the Xbox to have access to Xbox content like Gears Tactics, like, you know, other things like that. And yeah, although I'm slightly limited in the fact, like, already I haven't downloaded Gears 5, which I would like to have had a look at because it would have been a good one to graphically sort of, you know, kick the tires a little bit. And likewise, I would like to download Forza Horizon, but I haven't downloaded either of those games because of the limit of the hard drive, basically. But at the same time, that I know when I clear out some of the games that I've got at the moment, and I have downloaded some other big games. I think I've got about 10 games there just to go through and have a few things to have a look at. But I didn't get to 4 or 5 of those to play them at all, sort of thing. So, but yeah, once I go through and play a few of those and download and delete a few things, there'll be a few things that stay on my hard drive. And I imagine Forza Horizon, for instance, might be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Gears Tactics
good times,
might
that
be
game
as well. Exactly. It's just good fun and it's a good one to have access to play, to, you know, have multiplayer fun with as well, basically. So
Well, if you're talking about multiplayer fun,
yes,
you should make some room for some Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. Now,
yeah,
that's
optimized for X and S as well, basically.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that'd be another one. I haven't played any of that, so despite downloading it and having it on my last console, so that we could all grow up at some stage.
I'm finding there's a handful of games that I've been wanting to complete before the year's out, but I have now gone, I don't want to play that until I get my PS5 to play them on, because now optimization patches are coming out. And when I saw Ghost of Tsushima running, because they have two modes, they have the performance mode and the graphics mode, and people were running the graphics mode in the same frame rate as the performance mode, running like on a solid 60, and it looked gorgeous. And I might just wait until I jump back into that game.
With Miles Morales, haven't they done that? There are two modes again,
yes.
But it sounds like the graphics bells and whistles is a locked 30 frames a second, but it does have ray tracing and all of that stuff, whereas the performance mode is 60.
And that's a shame, because it's a new console generation. The whole point you get a console is you don't want to faff about with, I mean, for one price, it's cheaper than going out and getting a big expensive gaming PC, but also it's the simplicity the simplicity of out the box, put your disc in, boom, there's my games.
Yeah.
And it was kind of that when we hit the half-step generation and they went, okay, now you can prioritize, do you want 4K, HDR, do you want frame rate, how do you want to play this? And instead of eliminating that into the next generation and then that being the next half step, they've gone straight out the gate with that and gone, what do you want to prioritize? I just want you to give me the damn game and get it the best possible way you can. Things should look amazing and I don't need to faff about with a menu.
Do you think we're going to see another half step this generation?
We are so doing that. And then when Tim puts his man maths in and picks up the newest Xbox Series XS Plus 50, then I'll buy his one on the cheap.
It's not an iPhone. It's not an iPhone.
That's also part of the thinking again, yes, as well, that, yeah, knowing there's probably going to be an upgrade console anyway, so let's see what they come out with next time as well. But
I mean, is that a behaviour we really want to encourage, though?
No! Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Thank you, reasonable voice of the...
No, and the only reason I went for the Pro was because my bloody PS4, my launch PS4... It looked like it sounded like an aircraft, and it looked like it was going to catch fire.
Yeah. We see, I found my launch PS4 sound like an aircraft, and then my PS4 Pro sounds like an aircraft, just a slightly better aircraft.
It was the point where I was playing GTA, and this is when I was living with you, Tim, and I remember this specifically. It was the point where I was playing GTA Online halfway through a heist, and then it went blue screen, and it said, sorry, your console is too hot. I need a Pro.
Too hot.
Too hot.
I think there are some things in both VR and now I've seen also in 4K. Like Ghost of Tsushima in 4K, my PlayStation Pro does cry when I'm playing it in 4K, basically. Yeah,
please stop it, Mark.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem we have. I think like the first three PlayStation Pro models, you'd expect them to sound quieter, and they have the same fan problem. And then on the fourth, they sorted that. But at this point, if you hadn't picked up a Pro, you probably weren't going to. So I was quite annoyed with that.
Although I have heard very good things at all of the, just based on stuff I've watched on YouTube and teardowns of the consoles and stuff like that, that they really do seem to have got the cooling sorted.
Yes,
this time.
That seems to be the case. I have a question, Dan, that we didn't quite pick up on from before as well. Like, the one thing that confused me is why Xbox target 1440p for monitors when if you have a monitor, you're probably going to be playing it on PC anyway. Like, I don't quite understand the 1440p.
I mean, it's a halfway house. I mean, it's so...
Does it help with upscaling to 4K if you've already gone part of the way, sort of thing? Or?
Not well. I mean, it's easier to
it's easier on the eyes.
1080p, but it's easier to push 60 frames a second because you've got far fewer pixels that you need to refresh every frame. I mean, it might well be that people, while they've got a PC or they've got kind of like a 2K monitor, which is essentially what that is, they may just miss the convenience of just being able to pick up and play a console. I mean, sometimes, you know, I've thought, you know, I've even found myself thinking about an S for that very reason. So it'd just be great just to have it. It's that's all it does is gains, and there's no faffing about with other stuff. And that might be where they're going with it.
Yeah, it's one compromise I had to make on TV for price at the moment. It's not 120 hertz, it's only 60 hertz, basically.
For the vast majority of people, the jump from 30 to 60 is really noticeable. Yeah, there is a difference going from 60 to 120, but it's not doesn't have as big an impact as going from 30 to 60, in my humble opinion. But so yeah, no. But and your eye can resolve images slightly quicker than 60 hertz. For those of you out there just screaming into a pillow, but your eye can only do 60 frames a second. No.
I do that to a mate of mine who is bigger a PC nerd than you, Dan. And
really?
Yes. And whenever he talks about his new, graphics cards or whatever, and like what he's outputting or his refresh rate on his monitor and stuff, I go, oh, yes, but did you know that the human eye can only actually monitor at 20 frames a second? Go, stop it! Stop it! You know it annoys me!
Yeah, Sony London announced that Blood and Truth got a patch, or is getting a patch for PS5 that
again you can have the visual or you can have the frame rate. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Up to 90 frames a second. That might make it look nicer.
It's nice to hear about your Xbox, and we're going to hear about your PlayStation next week, but Dan's got some Destiny to talk about, which means I get to hit this button. And if he doesn't talk about it soon, then we're going to end up with a whole show where Dan doesn't get to talk about Destiny.
Oh no.
So I will do my
darndest.
I do my most to give you a whistle stop tour of Destiny, because I know it's not everybody's bread and butter, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So the game released.
Oh, one second, Dan. Sorry, I did that today, and I wanted to.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
I did that just for you today. Come on.
I know. So I've played through the campaign. It released on Tuesday amidst a whole bunch of server issues and faffing about. It seems they didn't quite get the queuing right for it.
Did they not get the memo of the launch day?
No. and it's. It's another Destiny expansion. It's more Destiny, which, depending on your view of Destiny, is either a great thing or so what kind of thing. So Destiny 2 Beyond Light, which is the full title of this campaign, of this expansion, basically does away with a load of old stuff from Destiny 2. Whole locations have been put in what they called the content vault. Yes, Cole Man.
Should we pause for a moment to let Tim make his has Destiny been given a story yet, joke? It'd be a shame if we got this far.
Yeah, I did see someone, I can't remember who it was now, but someone said after all these years of Destiny story, it's boiled down to circle versus triangle, which I don't fully understand.
Yeah, well, kind of. I would say that is, if you had to massively simplify it a little bit, yes. I mean, I think, is a lot more of a story there, but too much of it is still buried. Like, the really interesting bits are still buried in, like, item descriptions or in a screen that you have to go and read it. Like, some really, if you care about the characters that there are in it, some really interesting stuff. And I actually think one of the problems building up to Beyond Light was that a lot of, like, the preamble and the story was actually told in some collector's edition exclusive stuff, including
which means you probably know about it, because I've been spending more money on Destiny.
I couldn't quite justify going, I'll have 120 quid for some plastic stuff, please.
Not this
Thank
time.
You.
How's your plastic ghost?
My plastic ghost cost me 15 quid.
How much remorse do you have for not buying the collector's edition, Dan?
Oh, that's
well,
a better question.
Thankfully, some good people risked the wrath of the legal department of Bungie and scanned everything and put it online anyway.
Oh.
So you can actually read all of the stuff there. But what was a bit of a pain is, like, there was kind of, as Bungie often do, a bit of an ARG to go along with the launch of the game, but you could only participate in that if you had a one-time use code that you got from the collector's edition. Ooh. So it kind of locked out quite a few people from that. There was, I'm sure you might remember, a couple of months ago they trialed like an end of season event where like a big spaceship came crashing
where loads
down.
Of people in the tower just looked at the sky for hours and hours.
Well, the good news is that was such a success they thought they'd do it again.
They went, hey, we see what Fortnite's doing, and now we're independent. We're gonna lift some of that. And they went, but we're gonna do it over a lot longer time, and it's not gonna be as exciting.
I mean, the problem is that they did do this. There was like kind of an exclusive emblem to get where, ooh, and this is no spoiler, where it's like the Traveler, the big white ball, actually did something. It fixed itself.
It did something.
And it's, yeah, it fixed itself after getting a bit smashed up.
Sorry, but what? Did it take all this time for it to do something? It hadn't done anything up till now.
It's now back to its usual cadence of doing approximately bugger all, if you'd be pleased to hear.
So after all that time, it's still done nothing?
That's not much, no.
It was meant to do more in the original game, to be fair, before they had the legal issues and had to completely rewrite the story in a matter of months and change everything. But initially, the idea was, at the end of the game, that thing was going to open up and a bad guy comes out.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's now it's kind of sealed itself up. It's setting it. They're clearly setting something up. But one of the challenges with that kind of end of season event is that for whatever reason they thought they'd make it at 6:30 in the evening Eastern Time, US.
Right.
Right.
Which translates to started at 11:30, and apparently didn't finish until 2:40 in the morning. I noped out of that at about midnight. I was like, no, I am not.
I thought you were going to say you called in sick to work.
Yeah,
no, I'm far too old and grumpy for that. But essentially what has the premise is that, yes, the Darkness has arrived, and they've arrived
the
in
band.
Their triangle-shaped
the
ships. But both, I think,
help
the
those guys.
World. Yeah. So you are tasked with the never-ending question of, do you believe in a thing called love? Is essentially
nice.
what Beyond Light's about.
Do you believe in a thing called light? Yeah.
Do you believe in a thing called light? Oh, very good, Tim.
Oh, very good. There's a BRB Boom parody coming.
Yeah, exactly. Get your hands
Sorry,
off
carry
the
on
traveler, mother. Anyway. So the Darkness has arrived, and you, as a guardian, a defender of the light, you know, you've gone to Europa to find, which is where it's landed and where kind of like the one of the fallen houses is set up around the Darkness, trying to use its power for nefarious means.
Sorry, did you have to rent a car from Europa? Or
no, thankfully.
Right.
I didn't have to. Already have my own. Europa is also a moon, okay?
Yes,
it is a moon. It's a real thing.
Okay?
No, but it's funny.
Yeah, there's it's easy to remember that the moons. There's Europa. There's Hertz. Who else is there? but it ends up that you need to wield the Darkness yourself. Ooh, cue moral
Love.
Ambiguity. And it doesn't quite take it as far as perhaps it will over the coming weeks, months. But it doesn't take that question quite as far as I would like. It doesn't really kind of challenge you or challenge the player to think about what the ramifications that are. And essentially, what it boils down to, this is slightly more embellished than the triangle versus circle thing, is actually neither light or dark are inherently good or inherently evil. It's just one balances the other. And that's pretty much what the whole story seems to be boiling down to.
Kind of like if one side was light and the other side was dark,
uh-huh,
and you had to somehow bring balance to that, let's call it a force.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, I see what you're doing there. Yes, there is actually Varix for a character who was last seen in House of Wolves, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds a bit like Yoda. He's also back. Sounding a bit more asthmatic than before.
Helmet and the fur and stuff.
Yeah. Forearms. Yeah. Bobby Forearms.
They're like the dudes,
you know,
in Solo, Star Wars. Stuff.
Yeah.
A bit. So he's
returned
back.
Is there anything
back.
That isn't from Star Wars, then?
An exo stranger. She, you last saw her in Destiny 1, where she didn't have time to explain why she didn't have time to explain.
Well, now she looks like Poe Dameron's
girlfriend. Does she have time to explain
Rise of Skywalker?
She is taking some considerable time to explain some considerable amounts of stuff, which is good.
Oh, she's got time.
Yeah, and now there's all kinds of stuff about her backstory. She's timed. Why is she time traveling? She's come from an alternate future. What does that mean? Why is she in your timeline now, trying to correct stuff? So
does she give you a magic coin that lets you onto a Star Destroyer?
No,
just randomly popped into my head. Sorry,
sadly not.
Access one Star Destroyer.
Sorry. So, yeah. So, you two are getting bored already, I'm just going to wrap up.
I'm sorry.
I do have a question. Is there any fundamental reason that would attract a player like myself that hasn't played for a long time back into playing Destiny at this point?
Good question.
I would give it a go. The reason why I say I would give it a go is because you can give it...
I know you would give it a go. You've been giving it a go for years, Dan.
I mean, Tim, look, that's like basic... That is the Donald Trump version of asking someone a question and then immediately romping in with an answer without listening to what the person's going to say. And what I would say, Tim, is that you can start off Destiny 2 for free now. A lot of the new systems built in there. They've upgraded and changed a lot of the kind of the mechanics of the game. It does feel quite a lot different to the version that was there before they moved on to Beyond Light. I can't quite put my finger on exactly what, but you do feel a bit more powerful and a bit more badass. I don't know whether or not they've just improved the responsiveness of the controls, actually made things feel that you are kind of wielding space magic like a badass. But look, you can give it a go for free. So if you do want to check it out, check it out. Coleman, you're waving a pen.
Sorry. So I was going to say, because Tim actually did start Destiny 2 for free. He played my copy, the cheap git. But also, isn't it on Game Pass now with all the DLCs and things up to date?
Does it have Beyond Light?
I don't know. I thought that was one of the selling points of them doing this.
Beyond Light. Beyond Light is on Game Pass.
Yeah. There you go. That was the big thing. I remember. Did they do that on the PC version as well? Or just on
just console. Only slight gotcha with that is that it doesn't contain the season pass. I think that is literally just the Beyond Light expansion. So you won't have like the seasonal events going forward, but it will give you access to current raids. It will give you access to all the new gear, all the new locations. So
if you're in it for story though, then that makes sense.
Yeah, you've already paid for it, Tim, is what I'm saying. What I don't know, however, is...
And you can move over your PS4 save
You need to do all the cross-savey stuff. But what I don't know is what the new player experience is like. So obviously I've been there since day one, Destiny 2, and with them removing a whole bunch of content, I don't know how that's affected the new player getting up to speed side of things. So, hey, look, your mileage may vary, but if it's on Game Pass, that's money that's already left your wallet, so you may as well give it a go.
How much, for existing players, how much is the expansion for the new game?
I think the basic version's about £30. If you want the season pass, it's £45. And if you buy the season pass, and it does have cross-save on it.
I think I'll wait for the winter sales like I did last time.
I totally would. But if you would, so every platform next gen you wanted to play it on, you would need to have access to the Beyond Light DLC, but your season pass is transferable across all platforms. So let's say you wanted to catch up with someone on the Xbox, used Beyond Light from the Game Pass, and let's say you already had the season pass on PS4 or PS5, that would come straight over. So assuming you'd link your accounts on Bungie's website.
Right.
So Destiny 2, there's more Destiny 2. I've completed the story. There's a whole buttload of post-story endgame stuff that I'm about... probably only a quarter of the way through. Looks like there's loads of secrets to discover. The raid drops next week, which doubtless I will have an abortive attempt at. But, you know, I'm very much just playing through it at the pace of just trying to enjoy it rather than kind of trying to rush through the content just so I can get my slightly meaningless number of how much of a e-penis I've got slightly higher than I would otherwise, you know.
Could you come back to us when they launch the raid and tell us how quickly someone cracked it? Because there's always that ridiculous, like, four people did it in 30 minutes or something.
Well, I think generally the big annual releases tend to have the slightly more demanding raids. So,
right. Will they give you the chance to buy a t-shirt or something at the end?
No, it's more ridiculous. You get to buy a bomber jacket, which will cost you like 200 quid. And No, thank you.
That's so dumb.
And I think
you
if you're world's first,
the chance to give us money.
Yeah, I know, right? It's good, isn't it? But if you're well on the world's first team, they essentially send you a WrestleMania belt with the Raid logo on it.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, hold on. How much did you say this expansion?
You need to get good, Coleman. Is what you need to do.
Yeah, I'm probably like 1,000 light levels too low.
They bring everyone up to 1050. Everyone starts at the same.
Okay.
What a savings.
But anyway, so that's Destiny 2. I'll probably just touch base on it very briefly next week once we've worked through a bit more of the content. The new season starts next week as well, so they're drip-feeding us content a little bit. But look, it's Destiny. If you like Destiny, you'll like this, is what it comes down to. If you don't like Destiny, you can actually... Or if you're not sure you're going to like Destiny, you can hop on board for free to either the new like free-to-play version... Or if you've got Game Pass, you can get the brand new expansion and all the goodness it has to offer straight up.
Good.
There we go. That's your lot.
I will regard you with... Regale you with Tales of VR very quickly, because we're running low on time.
Yes, especially as this is on sale this week as well, though.
Yes.
Yeah, it's introductory sale, so reduced it. Anyway, this is... before I get to this, I will let you know, stuff your Xbox, Tim, because tomorrow...
Yeah?
I've got me a Google Stadia coming in the post.
Sorry.
Nice. Hey... You can game like you've never gamed before with a Stadia, and that much I'll say about
which,
it.
It's funny because so this is the Premier Edition, which what were they, 130 quid they were charging for those things when
they gave me one of those free when I bought me broadband.
And then if you got BT broadband, then they gave you one. Now the case is if you are and also they've reduced those to 90, I think, or 80. So they went down quickly, and then if you're a YouTube premium subscriber,
like
which I am, I use the family account and all that kind of stuff, you can claim a free one. And I don't think there's ever been a better advertisement to get Spotify than YouTube premium.
I mean, sorry, quick aside, YouTube premium... Just the whole idea that that's a thing offends me.
Well, no, here's the thing. Initially, if you subscribed to Google Play, which is the music platform, then it gave you access to have no ads in YouTube and to, if you were listening to music on YouTube, then you can turn your phone, put your phone lock on and it won't stop the video, that kind of stuff. All those features were taken out and then they went, YouTube Red, you can have all those features back if you pay for a separate subscription. And then that became YouTube Premium in the UK. And then they sent me an email and went, hey, we're shutting down Google Play. You can now use YouTube Music instead of Google Play, which is a separate app, but it includes YouTube Premium. So the only reason I have it is because I used to use a music service and they tied it into YouTube instead for less money.
Right.
So okay. I pay less money and I have more features, basically. I use YouTube Premium for that reason, for music more than the videos. And because of that, they've punished me by giving me a Stadia.
Let that be a lesson to you.
I followed a link and claimed it and stuff. You had to fill out details.
You've only got yourself to blame, Coleman.
I thought I'd give it a try because, you know, I actually enjoyed playing it on my phone and stuff, not so much on the desktop.
Actually the controller is really, really nice. It's a beautifully designed controller.
Less than that, it's 70 quid to get a 4K Chromecast, and that's included in the package. So I'll have that for free, no problem, even if I don't use the Stadia.
You'll shove that dongle around the back, won't you, Coleman?
That's it, thumb it in.
My friend could get his Stadia connected and said I could have his... What's the name? Ultra Chromecast thing. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Back to the all-important VR. I have been playing Star Wars Vader Immortal, which was a game I said I wasn't too excited about because I'd seen a lot about it and it seemed quite underwhelming.
Yep.
But they went, hey, £16, you can have all three chapters on the VR. So I picked that up and it's pretty underwhelming.
wow, okay.
Yeah, well, I was worried that would be the case.
Is it underwhelming still at the price point of 16 quid?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So basically this game is kind of, it's three chapters, three different apps, but it's essentially two different games because one is the story mode and one is the practice mode. The practice mode is what you're playing, is the game.
Right.
The story mode, which is spread across the three chapters, lasts for just 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
To be fair, a Star Wars film lasts about that amount of time. Maybe that's all they thought they had to cover. So we've only got two hours to fill.
And I won't go into story spoilers because the story is actually quite kish and it mixes in the prequels and the sequels and stuff. And it's quite nice. But the kind of game, you play as a smuggler who has been boarded by the Empire and brought to Darth Vader, and Darth Vader has a mission for you, basically. And that's kind of where it picks up. If I gave you any more, I would literally be spoiling one of the chapters.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Why is it called Vader Immortal when we know he isn't?
Story points.
Okay.
Can't really... It's a Sith thing.
It's a Sith thing.
Is mentioned in the prequels. I might tell you off mic, but anyway.
Right, okay.
So the main point of the game is you're going to be doing practice mode, and practice mode is lightsaber, force, and blasters. Mostly lightsaber. Right. Then after you've done like 40 flipping practice mode saber things, then you're bringing in blasters, then you're bringing in the force. And it's kind of like, you know, the New Hope, where Luke Skywalker's on the Millennium Falcon and he's got the blast shield down and he's holding his lightsaber and the training ball is firing lasers at him. Mm-hmm. You're doing that, basically. But as well as just fighting the one ball firing lasers at you, you fire several. Some you have to attack and just slice them in half. Some you've got to deflect lasers back at them. And then there's also lightsaber training droids, which are these floating robots that are kind of like the medical ball droid, but longer in stature.
Have you heard of a game called Beat Saber?
Yes, I've got Beat Saber. It's really, really good. This is not as good as Beat Saber, sad to say, unless you really want a two-hour story for 16 quid. Probably more when the game comes. I think it's like 25 when the game fully is out of sale. The weirdest thing about this game is this was made with Industrial Light and Magic and Oculus Studios.
Yeah.
So the weirdest thing
is you have coming to PSVR.
Yeah, you have a PSVR on, and then it says Oculus Studios, which is the weirdest thing.
Hang on, wrong platform.
Yeah, it's very strange. There might be enough for you if you're a big Star Wars nerd, like I am. Probably laughable in Star Wars knowledge to the mega nerds, but I have more knowledge than the average film goer,
and a girlfriend.
I'd say. And a girlfriend. And, you know, I know enough about...
Or a partner. There we go. Partner.
I know enough about the...
I'm just going to dig
canonical
myself a hole
and non-canonical
here, by the way.
Side
if
stories
me,
and things.
I'm digging this hole. All right? Okay. All right. See you in a bit. Bye.
It's fine. Bye. Carry on. But you might get enough out of it. I will say the motion controls are very fun in wielding a lightsaber. I do like in between like modes, I can just sort of make a little figure of eight out of the lightsaber. I can burn the floor. I can muck around with it. You can single-handedly
you'll have
or
your bloody eye out with it, Coleman, if you're not careful.
I like to pretend I'm Qui-Gon Jinn with this thing. Like do a little bit of episode one shenanigans with it. Very slowly burn a door open, you know, that kind of stuff. But
are you a man with a very
toast marshmallows? That's what you should do with it. Yeah.
Toast
the best
marshmallows.
Use of a lightsaber.
It's weird because there's
just
not
toast
enough
in
of,
general.
There's not enough of the single player story mode. Well, it's all single player. There's not enough of the story mode to make you feel like you should buy this as a game. And the practice mode is not enough to stand for the, you know,
stand on its own
for the amount of money you would pay. So you feel like you've basically paid for a tech demo. which I really do feel like I paid for a tech demo with an extended story thrown in towards the end.
Well, that backs up other things I'd heard, so I'll definitely wait for it to go down in price, but I can still see me picking it up at some stage and getting sucked in at like Fiverr or thereabouts kind of price.
I mean,
but
to be honest, once COVID shenanigans have calmed down, I can probably just go around your house, download it, and you can finish it while I'm there, because there's a plan.
So what would make it worth it? Is it the fact that there isn't enough story content, or is it the fact that it all just feels a bit rushed and superficial and just put together?
Not enough game.
I would not say it's rushed. I mean, the story mode, you know, someone's written a story. There is stuff with Darth Vader. There is, you know, at one point you do have a lightsaber battle fighting alongside Darth Vader. That stuff does feel very cool, but it's just so short, and all the battles are really repetitive because you've got a lightsaber. You know how to use a lightsaber, you do it, and you swing it around and... Yeah, it's odd, because on one hand, you can feel so cool playing the game. On the other hand, you can punch your wall really hard and break one of your knuckles while you're playing. Sorry, I nearly took one of my lights out playing this as well.
Jesus.
But yeah, I don't know.
Went to the dark side?
Yes, I went to the dark side.
No, he did break the light. Right, so he just avoided the
dark side. So he stayed on the light side, right.
He just avoided the dark side.
No, the dark side is the part of my living room that's away in the shade, and that's how I punched the wall when I was using emotion. It's weird because it's not a huge price to pay on a game, but I don't think you're getting enough longevity out of the game. And after you do, I don't know, I've done like 50 practice missions and I'm only on chapter one. And I don't feel like I want to do more of them. But then if you look at all the trophies, you get one trophy for the story of each chapter, and then everything else is all practice missions, and like, I don't feel like I'm getting what I want out of a Star Wars virtual reality game. If you do pick it up, I will say turn off the comfort settings, because it's really irritating. And I'm a guy who likes his comfort settings, but there's things like you walk up to a ladder and you touch the ladder, and then suddenly you're on the next platform. Like, you should be climbing the ladder, which apparently is in the game, but they turn it off by default.
That's weird,
which is very odd.
Don't turn off comfort settings in Star Wars Squadrons, because you really need them. But anyway.
you might find something in it. I don't know. After Squadrons, and I know you loved Squadrons, Tim, and I'm not knocking you on this. I expected more of Squadrons. I didn't get what I expected. I expect more of a VR lightsaber game that is officially a Star Wars game and not Beat Saber and not a demo and all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like they didn't deliver. And it's a shame, because I enjoyed Fallen Order so much. And after that, I was like, really, I was ready for a Star Wars video game high. And I went, right, let's go do Battlefront 2. Let's go do Squadron.
It's a shame on Squadrons, because I think that's the one high note of that stuff. But I did hear that Vader Immortal was not really up to that much, which is the reason why, I stayed away from it launch. Otherwise, I'd definitely be going. But as I said, I'll still probably be suckered in and buy it at some point, but just when it goes low enough in price.
If you want, and all this stuff's meant to be canonical as well. If you want a canonical story that involves all the characters and stuff that you love, then you could just watch YouTube videos for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you'd be done with it.
Fair enough.
Hey.
Do you know, though, that Darth Vader knows what Luke Skywalker gets for Christmas every year? Do you know how?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he felt his presence.
I have felt your presence.
Do you know where Darth Vader gets all of his designer shoes from?
Where does Darth Vader get all of his designer shoes from?
The Darth Maul. Funny joke. That is all the games that we have to talk about, because we've gone long over. But would you quite like some community feedback?
Ooh, I would love some community feedback.
Okay. So we got some stuff on anyone, well, first of all, if you want to get in contact with the show, you can do on our Discord, which is available on bigredbarrel.com. While you're there, we also have a comment section available on the post for this here show and many others going forward. But also on Facebook and Twitter, you can find us at Big Red Barrel, and on YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. Maybe I'll change that to Big Red Barrel. They'll all be in line. It'll be great. Love it. On Discord, Tendo Pete says, I have a question.
Yes, Tendo Pete.
What do you make of the videos going around on Twitter showing the smoking Xbox Series X consoles? And I will admit, I fell for this. If you don't know, people are blowing vapor into their consoles, yeah, switching them on, and then they blow out the fan. However, the ones
that
I've seen are of some vapor coming out. The one that I posted has plumes of smoke coming out, and it looks very convincing. So if that is a vape, bravo.
Well, people do like juicing their rigs, I do believe, is what the cool kids,
they like
who
to,
aren't at all sad.
They like to smoke the fat clouds.
Do they?
They
wow.
do.
Wow.
Did you see the Xbox doing the ping pong trick as well?
Yes.
That apparently is fake.
Yeah. Is that fake?
I've heard it is fake.
Oh.
I've heard well, it's fake, but, pointless getting one now.
There's... Yeah, don't seriously. That people just need to stop herping the derp and stop actually probably blowing vape smoke up your Xbox. That's a sentence. blowing smoke up your Xbox chimney is probably not that good for your Xbox. So don't do it.
It's funny because I felt I've not hated myself enough. So I've been perusing comments and YouTube comments and tweets, like the replies on tweets and stuff. And it's amazing how many people that think it's a conspiracy that PlayStation fans have picked up the expensive Xbox so they can blow vape smoke at it, so they can make it look like it's on fire to sabotage the Xbox, so the PlayStation will come out
stop
on top.
The camp. Whereas, stop yes. the camp. Stop the yeah. count.
Stop the count. Kids, every vote counts. Stop the count. We don't know what we're doing. But the funny thing is, like the reality of it is, it's more likely people are doing it to get attention on social media or go, help Microsoft, my Xbox is on fire. Send me another one for free.
Microsoft has already tweeted out, I can't believe we have to say this, but please don't blow vape into your Xbox X's.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, look, these are definitely fake. There have been, so far from what I've seen from like canvassing a few different sources and seeing it, that does seem like isolated incidents, but there has been isolated incidents of other things going wrong with them, which you'd expect in a sort of large sort of
absolutely
electronics launch. But I've seen like one case of a console being dead on arrival, and yeah, other cases of things going wrong. But
sadly, that will always happen.
Yeah, and there doesn't seem to be any major, as we know yet, like there isn't enough evidence to support anything major being wrong with any of them. I would be highly surprised if there's anything majorly wrong with any of these consoles coming out now, basically.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, if there is going to be any problems, like I think, you know, obviously Red Ring of Death, PlayStation 4 sounding like they're going to take off, you probably won't actually be aware of those issues until like 8 to 12 months from now.
Until it's run out of warranty and we're all screwed.
Here's a fun fact. The big problem with the launch PlayStation 4s in the US was that they made suitable housing for cockroaches.
true fact.
This is a true thing. People would go, oh my, something's wrong. I'm going to change my hard drive. And then they open it up and then cockroaches go.
What you should do is clean your house.
Well, yeah. I think roaches are a bigger problem in the US than they are in the UK. From what I get from American TV. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, America, to be fair, has got a lot bigger going on than roaches in consoles.
Bears are a bigger problem. Maybe not coming from inside of your Xbox, but you know,
mango Mussolini's are a bigger problem.
Turn out to be very comfortable housing for hibernating grizzly bears.
Yeah,
yeah.
Careful,
well, I mean,
hibernating bears.
The PS5 is
present.
That huge. The PS5 is that massive.
To be fair, that could house at least two bears per side, I think, possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where I'm going to fit that console. I really don't know where it's going to go.
I've seen a lot of people do size comparisons and stuff and showing them off when they've arrived. I think Gav Murphy from RGK, I think they're called.
Yeah.
His one's been my favorite one because he's got a very tiny dog and he keeps taking photos of the consoles next to the tiny dog. And when he did it with the PlayStation remote, it was like, geez, move the dog. You're going to crush it to death.
Yeah, it's going to fall.
And that thing falls.
huge. I think it's 40 centimetres tall.
Well, it's 39 centimetres.
That's huge.
Centimetres,
that's
isn't it?
Huge.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Huge. Sorry, Tim. 39, that's
well,
definitely
I've only been
different.
Checking the measurements because I want to know if it fits into the shelves that I have. As the
isn't it meant to be?
Do you know what you need to do, mate? You need to thumb it in is what you need to do.
I need to thumb it in.
Whoa, no thanks. Yeah, also, like, random...
Most inappropriate episode title ever.
Random tidbit of information that I found out this week, which
tidbit,
I just thought...
Tidbit. It's a tidbit.
Tidbit of information that I found out last week.
A tidbit was, do you remember, like, back in the 90s where you're waiting for those fun images to load? That's where you get a tidbit.
Right, okay.
That's the speed in which they download.
Yeah, Dan Mayer of previous yep. Xbox, Inside Xbox fame, basically.
Explosive Alan fame and a genuine lovely bloke. Yep,
genuine lovely guy. He's voiced a load of lines of dialogue in the new Sackboy Adventure game.
Really?
Oh, wow. Cool.
Which I think is quite funny just because he was known for being Inside Xbox and is now literally inside the PlayStation 5.
Was, was Stephen Fry busy or doing Destiny DLC or something?
Oh, was it Sackboy or Astro? No, I think it was Sackboy. Yeah,
I think it's Astro, okay. Isn't it?
Or maybe it's Astro.
I think
know.
It's Astro.
I don't know. I thought.
I'm
thought,
glad
no,
we're
100%
certain.
I was pretty sure it was down as Sackboy. Yeah, could be one.
Good.
Was there more community feedback/questions?
And on Twitter, we've got from Scandi says, when do you guys think both the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 will be widely available? Sony said they estimate a 3-year transition for the 100 million PlayStation 4 users to switch to PS5. Sounds like it might be a while before you can just pick one up in store.
So there's a couple of things here. One, don't go to stores. We're in lockdown. Two, supply chain, worldwide supply chains are absolutely rogered because of coronavirus at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands.
But three, wash your hands. part the fourth, I genuinely think it's like by general availability, and I'm assuming by that you mean that you can just, whenever the moment, the fancy takes you, you can go to a website, it's in stock, you click buy, it comes a couple of days later. I think you're probably looking at February or March next year.
Yeah, so...
I think even longer than that, possibly, but...
Well,
really?
Phil Spencer's already come out, I believe, to say that the... If you're looking for an Xbox and you didn't pre-order one, it's not likely you're getting one this year, that you're going to have to be waiting until the following year before you receive one. And even some of the later pre-orders that might be happening too as well. With the PlayStation 5, now the idea is when it launches on the 18th and people have received their pre-order copies, you should, through retail partners, go off and buy your own copy. I know Currys have already come out and said, yep, on the 18th, we're selling them. Don't go to the store. We're not set, like, no PlayStation 5s will be sold in store in the UK. You have to digitally order them. But that said,
with your fingers,
bots, people,
yeah,
constantly refreshing and stuff. It's going to sell out super quick. I'm going to have a go.
Maybe completely just. Incidental and just a one-off thing, but a mate of mine did phone his local Smith store yesterday and they had two in stock, so he went and bought himself one and has it was an S rather than an X, but yeah, bought himself
I mean, look, the main thing is no matter what, you are either going to be doing a click and collect or you are going to be getting it ordered to your house. Do not break lockdown and go to a store.
PlayStation 5, you literally can't. They're not allowing it.
Yeah, exactly. So don't even try it because it's not going to work. And stay at home, all that stuff. Wash your hands.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah.
And I just wanted to give a quick plug to one of our listeners, Neil Lapointe. We spoke about his game Gunpig before, where me and Dan were playing it on PC. He kindly sent us a couple of codes over. Gunpig is now available on the Nintendo Switch in the eShop. I know it's available in the US. It was
nice.
Meant to be out some point in the UK this week, so that might be available right now. I haven't taken a look, but that game is well, like for a twin stick shooter, that'd be well suited for the Switch on a handheld mode. So I might have to double dip.
Splendid. Splendid. But what you ought to do as well, aside from pick up Gunpig on the Switch, is you ought to, if you're listening to this here, you have some form of accessing podcasts. And all we ask occasionally is that someone might leave us a review. We like 5-star reviews the best, but in fact, any kind of review that just gives us anything that can help us make the show better, those are good too.
So, gives us a meaning to get out of bed.
Yes, it does. And sit in the same room that we do every day.
And it's getting difficult lately, I can tell you.
State of the world. If you're listening to the show, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. We've got a denizen of the internet that goes out and gets our reviews for us. So if you write something, we will find you.
And if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
Really?
Indeed.
Didn't know it would be that exciting to build something.
Also, hey, everyone go watch Auntie Donna's House of Fun on Netflix. I really enjoyed that today. Sorry, just throwing that out there randomly.
Excellent. But what you also ought to do is just double check one thing. And Tim, the thing I wish to double check is thus.
Yes.
Are you still on the bleeding edge of video games for next week's show?
Well, I was going to say, I wasn't going to correct something because I was working dates out and things. You said I'll be talking about the PlayStation next week. I shall not, partly because it comes out next Thursday, so I won't have a lot of time before the show to actually talk about said things, no?
I demand that you unbox it on air.
That may be possible.
I thought it came out on Wednesday, 18th.
I'm maybe confused, but I thought it was the 19th. No, it was the 12th.
Thought it was the 19th.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, 12th in America. But I have a review code for a new Xbox Series S, in this case, game to review for next week anyway. So,
Would you say Xbox is going to give it to you?
Yeah, so it'll be a bit more Xbox next week, and then I'll have a full deep dive on the PlayStation 5 the week after. But, yeah, I might try and get the DualSense controller working on the PS4. I think that's possible.
Apparently, for some jiggery-pokery, you can use that on your Switch.
Yes, I've seen that being possible as well. But, I imagined the PS4 would be slightly easier. So I can see if I can get that going and see if it does anything interesting in the meantime.
I bet you can control stuff with it.
Hoping so. Incidentally, on that, the
old
controllers seem to work when... You just plug them in and they work with the... and I had my launch Xbox One controller and worked fine on the Xbox Series S. So that was quite good. Didn't have to invest in a second controller to be able to play split screen. So, yeah.
DualShock 4s can be used to play PS4 games on the PlayStation 5.
Yes, and have to be used for a lot of VR games as well, apparently.
Okay. Well, have to, not just advise you.
Well, anything that has a light sensor bar that has to be on the front because the PS5 ones don't. They only have them on the top.
Makes sense. However, if you remote play your PlayStation 5 through your PlayStation 4, then you can play PlayStation 5 games with your DualShock 4.
Right.
And then it is possible, Dan, I know you're wondering about this, you can remote play your PlayStation 4 through your your PlayStation 5 through your PlayStation 4 remote played through your PC. If you really wanted to do that.
Right,
if
but you could really, you remote play really your PS5 through your PS4 using a Vita?
I'm going to try this.
Because you can.
I'm going to go find my Vita. I'll be right back.
I'm now recreating memes because my mind is blown.
Yeah, I'll have to dig out my Vita for when I get a PlayStation 5.
A Vita?
No. Yeah, I've got my Vita ready.
Oh, don't. Tim's going to start making really crap puns again if you
Let's go. Let's go. We've done the
All
show.
All right.
Let's go now, guys.
Me.
Come on.
Right.
Stadia.
All right. Let's go. We're going to go now. So thank you for listening. Make sure you go to www.wearabarrel.com. That's where we live and stuff. You can also find a nice little link to our Discord there because we go on Discord. We talk about things. We do stuff. There is also going to be perhaps a little bit more extra life shenanigans going on over the next couple of weekends. We're all a little bit constrained with our diaries at the moment, but keep your eyes out on the Big Red Barrel Twitch channel. There's probably something going on a couple of Saturdays coming up. I'd love to be able to say, give you definite answers, but everyone's schedules, because Kev's just had kids, I'm being work silly, and it's just all been a bit chaotic, but we will get some kind of fun going on online sooner rather than later. So yeah, you can also go to www.twitter.com/BigRedBarrel or facebook.com/BigRedBarrel too. And there is fun to be had in those sites.
Just don't slash in the Big Red Barrel.
No. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Anyway, we're going to go now. So all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
And Tim says...
Never record my bell end. It's good advice for anyone in any situation.
Tim, that would be... I would love to actually have a fortune cookie and for that to be the message. Never record your bell end.
No. No.
Yep.
Oh.
So anyway, we're going to go now. Toodaloo. Goodbye.
Good work.
And until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
Hello.
No, doing it wrong again. Idiot.
Are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
No.